Want me to introduce myself and
Yeah, please
have
do
you?
go right ahead.
Hey there, comrades and friends. My name is Darren. I'm a member of the World Socialist Party of the United States. You can possibly tell from my accent, I'm originally from Britain. I was previously a member of the SPGB for a number of years, and obviously, as you know, I'll just move on to the talk at hand. Also, I'd like to really apologize that this meeting really isn't about, as the title just is described. It's I listed it as a history of the history of the ideas of the socialist standards. It's really not about that. It's really more about the digitization project that I and others have undertaken in the last few years, digitization of the socialist standards. But without a doubt, as the meeting goes on, because I'm only going to speak for a few moments, few minutes, I'm sure it'll expand into a discussion about the history of the standards itself and its ideas. I really just want to sort of talk more, about the history of the project itself. Just really starts that this unofficial project actually started as an unofficial project for the party back in, I believe it was like 2005, 2006. A couple of SBGB comrades, Tristan Miller and Norman Sandon, committed themselves to digitizing the standards. Because the Socialist Standards, our journal, which has been published continuously since September 1904. But the articles, the material of the Socialist Standard that we had on the website when they undertook this project really only dated post 1998, which is when the party first had its website. And here and there, articles from that period previous to that was added to the website, but in the main, our history of our party, history of our journal, this wasn't available to anybody unless they had access to head office, or if they were academics and they had access to like bound volumes in university libraries. So as I say, Tristan and Norbert took the microfiche of the Socialist Standard, which was available at the London School of Economics, which was dated from 1904 to 1972, point. And then they undertook to scan in the Socialist Standards post 1972 up until 1997, with the intention of eventually digitizing the standards in full. Making it available on the party website, making it available as a CD-ROM, as a memory, so making it available for as many people as possible. Unfortunately, what happened was is that as I've discovered when I got a copy of the microfiche from Tristan, practically scanning in and digitizing the standard was a lot more complicated than they first thought. If anybody has seen the microfiche from the LSC, you'll find that early standards cannot be just simply scanned in. You scan them in, and they basically come out as gibberish, unfortunately. And what basically happened, though, even though I understand Tristan was still committed to this project up until like 2013, eventually abandoned this project. He was just asking too much. Digitize the standard, and I have every sympathy with that because I've noticed that other journals have tried something similar. I believe the Spectator magazine, right-wing magazine in Britain, left-wing magazine in Britain, basically tried to do the similar thing about 10 years ago, where they just basically put all their journals in a scanner and just like put them on the website. And I remember like accessing these scans at the time, and it was just gibberish. The basically the work needed to correct scans was just too labor intensive. So that's basically where I come in. Basically 2013, 2014, I'm living in the States and I'm at basically a loose end. I have family commitments, so I can't be involved in normal political activities, which I had been previously, like demos, going to meetings, been doing stalls occasionally. I was basically at a loose end and I decided to start digitizing the standards with the assistance of other members. It was very much an unofficial thing. I had a blog, Social Standard Past and Present. I put articles on the standard October 2013. That's when I started being serious about it. It was basically socialist standard material all over the place. It was on various blogs of other people, Socialism Your Money Back blog that another socialist member, Graham Taylor, had done, but nobody had actually taken the time to like try and bring it together. So I basically decided to put this on my own blog with the intention that it'd eventually be transferred to the party website, which it has been. And, you know, couple of years we'd sort of transcribe these by hand. In 2015-2016 I was able to get a decent software called Fine Reader, which allowed me to scan this material in, which made it more my productive activity just increased as a consequence. This stage, it was really just a complement to the party website. I would occasionally post pre-1998 articles from the party website on the blog, which had probably already been put on the party blog. But it was more about just filling the gaps, you know. Eventually, a complete version would appear on the party website. And I would make use of these articles, post them on social media, etc., on Facebook and Twitter. And sometimes it would be picked up, other times it wouldn't be. All this pretty much changed in July of 2018. Some party members will remember that the party website was hacked. It was down for a number of months. At this point, my blog basically became an unofficial mirror site for the party. I basically realized that I was kind of conscious of the fact that the party website could be attacked again. So basically, I decided that I would try and transfer as much party material from the party website onto my blog, just as, like I say, an unofficial website. That's just some background to my blog. At the last count, there are about 1,500 pieces on the blog. A rough guesstimate is there is about 300 completed socialist standards from the pre-1997. That's about 26% of standards published pre-1997. Doesn't sound a lot, but that figure has gone up all the time. And I think by the end of this year, as many as maybe 500 standards and complete socialist standards from the pre-1997 period will be on the net. Just some background to that. When I first serious about this digitization project, I remember checking the Socialist Standard Archive section of the party website and realized there was hundreds of socialist standards that were not represented on the website. One article or review from those particular issues were featured on the net in any shape or form. And it's now the case that I'm pretty certain that every issue of the Socialist Standard from 1904, in some shape or form, is now on the web. It's, you know, even if it's just a couple of articles or a couple of books review. So why the commitment to such a project? You know, it's going to take a few years to finish. You know, some people would turn around and say, what's the relevance of articles from like 1904 or 1924, etc.? You know, is this just for like lefty train spotters or academics? Why not just dump the PDFs of bills that Tristan and Norman had, even the barely legible ones, on like archive.org or libcom, and just let people get on with it. You know, just let them find it. I think the reason why it's important, one of the reasons why it's important to individually digitize these articles is, in a practical sense, is people are now getting most of their information via a handheld device, via a smartphone, etc., via an iPad. And it's unfortunately, you know, if we are hoping to sort of put these ideas out, these old ideas out, people are less inclined to like download PDFs to their smartphone or to their iPad. So that's why, you know, we release these articles individually, we label them up, people, if people are interested in a particular subject, they can just click on a label and it leads them to other articles from the archive. Or important things like that. It's just the idea of making this information available. I think if we were just to just, you know, just dump it on an obscure left-wing site, that's just not going to happen. And, you know, why do this? You know, is it just a case of I just doing this because I'm like at a loose end and like I can't do other party activity? Well, you know, today is the 116th, you know, anniversary of the party, and I think the party's been pretty crap at times, marking its own history, of, you know, discussing its own history, and in some cases, knowing its own history. You know, I think if you're going to be around for 116 years and you're going out and you're trying to reach out to people and they're going to ask, well, what have you been doing? Why are you still doing this? You know, why are you still saying the same things in 1904? You know, in 2020 that your organization was saying in 1904, I think you need the material to back it up. And I think a few pamphlets and a few sort of, you know, a few sort of special issues, unfortunately, is not enough to kind of fill that gap, you know, to basically provide that information. I don't want to be too harsh. There has been some excellent historical issues of the Standard, and I'll probably post a link to them afterwards somewhere, you know, just off the top of my head. There's a good two-part history of the party from 1931 that was written by a guy called Gilbert Achey. 1954, which is the 50th anniversary of the party. There's a special issue done for September, Socialist Standard, which is an excellent issue. I recommend anybody to read it to get a background into the early history of the party. Anniversary issues in 1964, 1974. There's a good one in 1979, September 1979, which was more about the history of the Socialist Standard itself. 25th anniversary. And obviously, most of us will remember the two excellent anniversary issues produced in 2004. The party in September for the centenary of the Standard. I recommend to anybody listening in to check those out if they haven't already read them. And we also have, you know, a couple of books which, you know, that either have been written by party members or ex-party members. The centenary book, Socialism, Your Money Back, excellent source of material. Baltrop's Story of the Socialist Party, The Monument, which is published in the mid-70s. Dave Perrin's book on the SPGB, which was published, I believe, in 2000. And there's also on the net, knocking around, I think it's on LibCon, a PhD on the early history of the SPGB. It was written by an ex-member, very prolific speaking writer, Steve Coleman, in the early 1980s. Just to, you know, just to say, I think the digitization projects were... provide a better understanding of our history, good and the bad. And by delving back into that history, we get a better sense of our political roots. And I think we also avoid a tendency, which we're sometimes prone to, of oversimplifying our politics. I think because we oversimplify our politics sometimes, I think there's a danger that allows us to feel easily dismissed as a political organization, as a group of cranks, by our political opponents and those people around us. They basically think, you know, I mean, a case in point I'd refer to is, for example, the Bolshevik Revolution. Very good, very quick, rather, of saying, oh, yeah, we denounced the Bolshevik Revolution in 1918. Just leave it at that. I think by just doing that, we kind of play into the caricature of the party, which, you know, jokes. I remember reading the joke by David Widgery, the late Trotskyist, in the book he wrote on the left, where he basically, this was a book that was published in the 1970s, it was like 800 pages long, and we were consigned to the paragraph of history, basically, to paraphrase Trotsky. Basically said, oh, the SPGB, they denounced the Russian Revolution within hours of hearing it. I think Morris Brinton, solidarity theorist, made a similar kind of jibe against us. When, if you actually look at the history of the standards of that period, what you find is a far more rigorous and nuanced position on the Russian Revolution by the SPGBers of the time. You know, and for example, you know, I don't know if party members know this or if they know it and they don't want to acknowledge it, but the pages of the Social Standard, there was an initial respect for the Bolsheviks taking Russia out of the war. Weren't they claiming they were, you know, they acknowledged that likes of Lenin and Trotsky, using the terminology of Marx, the phraseology of Marx, weren't, you know, so they kind of acknowledged that, but their immediate response to what was happening in 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution, October Revolution, rather, is they kind of respected the Bolsheviks basically said they were going to take Russia out of the war. They did. And, you know, just prior to, people will know this, you know, this the SPGB actually published on its front page in 1915 an article by the Bolsheviks, by the Bolshevik representative in London, Litvinov, who ended up, he was actually one of the few original Bolsheviks who, I think he outlived Stalin, or he wasn't a victim of Stalin. He was the Bolshevik representative in London in 1915. And the Bolsheviks were attempting to attend, like, in inverted commas, a socialist conference during the First World War, circulate their politics. They were refused because most of the socialists, the patriots, you know, chauvinists, defensists. And he basically was able to get Bolsheviks' statement published on the front page of the Socialist Standard. It's a bit of a side issue. But again, if you read the party's position on the Russian Revolution, there's a definite, you could see the sense there was a definite wariness of accepting the anti-Bolshevik propaganda published in the Capitalist Press, simply because 1917-1918, it experienced 4 years of the jingoistic propaganda that had been pumped out of the Capitalist Press, support of the war, to bolster the war, you know, the anti-Germanism that took place, which was later revealed to be absolute lies. It was just to whip up that xenophobia and jingoism to fight the war. And there was an understandable wariness of, in the pages of the Socialist Standard to basically say, well, it's because the capitalist press is saying this, you shouldn't at first, you take it at face value. We need more information. And basically, you know, as I say, as people will know, there's a series of articles from 1918 onwards. In pages of Social Standard, the SPGB applied a Marxian analysis to what was going on in the Soviet Union. The material was made available and out of the Soviet Union. And from that, were able to correctly position the party in relation to 1917 in October, saying that, you know, this obviously wasn't a working class revolution. This wasn't a socialist revolution. If the Bolsheviks don't go the same way as the Paris Communards in 1870-71, this is what's going to happen. And basically that was borne out by events, by facts, that Bolsheviks ended up sort of, you know, taking a bourgeois revolution and building up state capitalism. So, you know, the series of articles from 1918 onwards by Jack Fitzgerald, Adolf Cohn, Robert McClatchy, which go into great detail. And, you know, it's the fact that this information is available, I think, bolsters SPGB in 2020, as strange as it seems. Because I think it sort of gives a seriousness to our politics. That I think sometimes we talk in sound bites. Sometimes we're too easy to dismiss our political opponents without basically expanding on our criticism, vanguardist politics, Bolshevik politics, you know, these so-called Russian socialist revolutions. And I honestly think that if people were made aware of who we were able to develop the position that we do, even if they didn't agree with us immediately, I honestly think we would garner an audience and a respect. I think sometimes we don't have. I mean, maybe in the discussion we could touch on other subjects, but I think the same thing could be applied to our long-standing position on the Labour Party. You know, even before they got into power, you know, remember that we were formed in 1904, 2 years before the Labour Party was formed. 18, 19 years before the first Labour minority government, the subjects of nationalisation before it was applied. Again, our position on the Second International, because I think sometimes our opponents will dismiss us as this Frankish ultra-left remnant of the Second International. And the irony is, and it's in the pages of the Standard, the earliest standards, the pre-1914 standard, that we actually develop in a critique of the Second International. And, you know, its parent body, if you like, the German Social Democrats, years before Lenin, for example, realized the social chauvinism of, you know, these mass social democratic parties. It's one of those ironies that we're dismissed as Second Internationalists, you know, almost like Kautskyites. We were actually one of the first organizations, definitely in this country, definitely in Britain, rather, who we initially had a good relationship with Kautsky. We were translated and published some of his writings, but we cottoned on pretty quickly by about like 1905, 1906, 1907. The capitulation of Kautsky. This was, as I say, 7 or 8 years before basically the rest of the Second International actually finally realized how sort of hollow the German SPDB. There's other examples, but I think it's important, you know, that we try and sort of digitize as much as this material as possible, because I think it provides a context to our politics. I think at times seen as too ahistorical. We're basically just saying things for the sake of it, rather than the reality is that we're saying stuff because we developed a position over a number of years. Accusations of ahistoricism, there is this, the accusation of repetition. You know, the Standard is just repetitious. We basically are just saying that, you know, the notorious final paragraph, that we've basically been saying the same thing. It's 1904, which is true, but I think the point that's kind of missed is that our opponents have actually largely been saying the same thing as well, repeating themselves since the same periods. I think one of the most insightful things from doing this project is when you're sort of scanning something in and you're basically seeing sort of arguments being postulated by the left-wing reformers, by the Labour left, back in 1924, 25, likes of Maxton or A.G. Cook. And you could have been reading John McDonnell 2 or 3 years ago. These things are just circular and they go round and around. I just think it's important that we're able to kind of provide a historical context to that, historical examples. I think the Standard is an excellent resource to do that. I won't necessarily talk too much in this opening bit. I can expand on stuff if there's any questions, but on this subject of the digitization, what could we do next with it? Because I do think it's an important project. The party sits an active live project that the party should sort of get on board with more people should be involved. I think we should committed to digitizing the early standards completely, like 1904 up to like say the 1930s, with the intention of basically offering them to the Marxist Internet Archive. It comes back to this idea of the website being hacked. This idea that because the website was down for like 2 or 3 months, and I understand that Matt Colbert still has to do a lot of work. A lot of work on one comrade's shoulders to actually get the Standard back up and running and retrieving all this material that temporarily lost. So it's a practical suggestion, this idea of committing ourselves to digitizing the early standards equids as a beginning. They have another mirror site to basically offer them to the Marxist Internet Archive, where standards will be there, irrespective of what happens elsewhere. My blog gets hacked or gets deleted, or party website gets hacked again. this idea that our material is out there, because I think it's important. With regards to the MIA site, currently have, for members who don't know the Marxist Internet Archive, it's just this all-encompassing site for digitizing material from anyone who calls himself a Marxist. And that's just to avoid sort of political conflict within the volunteers. So you'll have pages for Joseph Stalin alongside Leon Trotsky, alongside William Morris, alongside Lenin, alongside Thomas Sankara, et cetera, et cetera. And the SPGB has had a site for a number of years, such as Adam Buick and Michael Schwartz has done a lot of work on it. And we currently have individual pages for Socialist Standard writers, for Jack Fitzgerald, Gilbert McClatchy, Edgar Hardcastle, Hardy, Harry Young, Jim Darcy, Harry Baldwin, and Peter Lawrence. And I would suggest that we should be doing more work to get more party writers on the Marxist Internet Archive. There's writers like Jacques Sadov Khan, Eric Bowden, Housley, who these people are. You know, it's part of the reason of this project, to let people know who these people are. It's also the idea of making use of these digital archives. Original title of this meeting was supposed to be about the history and ideas of the Socialist Standards. You know, obviously you can't cover a journal of 116 years in one meeting. But, you know, we could do a series of meetings on, like, Socialist Standard and the Russian Revolution, the Socialist Standard and Labour governments, Socialist Standards and the environment. And, you know, someone could come forward and do a talk making use of these archives to, again, sort of develop the knowledge of the party's history. I think that's really important in these kind of these times. I think sometimes we just have there's a danger we just have a surface understanding of what the party is about. And then sometimes we see something over there happening and think, oh, wow, that's really important. That seems really exciting. And we'll immediately rush over to it because we're looking for this kind of golden ticket. Some of us are old enough to realize there's been a lot of golden tickets out there that have not turned out to be what they claim to be. Making use of the archive of the standards, expanding it, maybe sort of publishing articles in the standards, reprints, etc. You know, that's not for me to say. That's obviously for the editorial committee of the standards. But, you know, just things like that. Just this idea of, like, getting a better sense of the party's history so people will have a better understanding, opponents or people coming into contact with us for the first time, and a better understanding of where we're coming from. Because I think there's a danger that people just don't, you know, they just think we're just these crusty old guys who basically just speaking sort of bullet points. And I think our politics are a lot more nuanced than that. I think standards are one means by which we can sort of prove that. So that's just my opening remarks. Thank you for listening.